So we're continuing in the story of Jesus. I want you to picture for a moment that you've worked very hard towards one goal. One goal. You've worked very, very hard. You've been in school. You've been in college. You've got a transcript that is second to none. You're like valedictorian. You've put in the hours. You've worked. You even interned at a place. You know exactly where you're going when you get out of school. You've interned at this place. This is going to be your career. And man, you are psyched. Everything is just lined up perfectly. And then you get the call. Hey, we're going out of business. Sorry. We can't hire you. In fact, the industry's hurting right now. You're probably not going to get a job. Everything is falling apart. Can you imagine how you feel in that moment? Or maybe you're going to get married, and you guys have spent so much time just staring googly-eyed at each other and having these conversations that last well into the night about nothing, and time passes like it's nothing at all, and you're going to get married. You have plans to get married, and you are out on a really nice date. And the person you're getting ready to marry says, hey, we need to talk. Hey, that's never good, right? Nobody ever says, we need to talk. I just think you're awesome. It never goes that way. We need to talk. My ex is back in town, and I just think I need to make it work with them. Oh, how about this? Because this one's real for sure. I know about several folks, but one specifically, dream vacation saved for years. Planned it a year in advance. Booked the tickets to Italy for this year. Yeah, that ain't happening. COVID hit. It was planned and timed for an anniversary, a major anniversary for a man and his wife, and they couldn't go, of course. COVID hit. And yes, if you're going to say, yeah, there's worse things, at least they didn't die, I got it. But it's no less a letdown, right? What happens when all of your dreams just go down the tubes? I had a health club kind of place, a pro shop, inside of a fairly exclusive women's gym in Houston, Texas. And I did nutrition counseling and help women lose weight, which is funny now. I was the pro, I was that guy. And in my head, I'm gonna have a string of these. I'm gonna own a string of them across America and maybe around the world. Man, I am gonna be the entrepreneur of entrepreneurs. And I'm sitting there one day, I had become a believer, and I'm reading the scriptures because I don't have any appointments right now. Nobody's coming in. It's a slow time of day. I'm sitting at my desk at my pro shop in this women's very expensive health club, and I'm reading the scriptures, and I remember God saying very specifically, this is not what I have for you. It had been my dream to be an entrepreneur forever. My dad and I had had that kind of together, and I wanted that, and God gave me the recall. Remember that call I had on your life that you're going to go in a minute? I got that for you, and this is not my dream for you. And I remember thinking, man, this is ridiculous. I want to do this. God, there's nothing wrong with this. I'll do good stuff with this. I'll support missionaries. I'll do good stuff. God said, this is not my dream for you. And I said, okay, God. And then just to go ahead and put a fine point on it, because this is our God and he knows what he's doing, it wasn't much longer after that that my place was broken into, the gym was. They stole all of my product. And I'd have money for a new product. I had hundreds of dollars worth of, you know, protein shakes and B12 sublingual vitamins and all the rest of this. And all of it was taken. It was kind of like God saying, hey, remember what I said? Yeah, I meant that. And I had no way to go into ministry, and yet I knew that's what I was supposed to do. But my dream had to die before God could do something new. What do you do when you have your plans and God changes the script? Because that's what happens today. God changes the script. He flips the script on someone. Here's what we said last week. Sometimes God is silent. Sometimes God doesn't deliver. That is Elizabeth. She never could get pregnant. Her and Zechariah, they tried for years. Now she is well past childbearing years. And then God gives her a baby. Sometimes, and this is today, God gives you what you never asked for and you don't really want. Don't look at your spouse right now. Please don't look at him right now. I can't do the counseling. But sometimes, in other words, God's gifts can be inconvenient. They can even become a hardship. God can mess with, he can jack your plans. Again, that's what happens today. And so here's the big idea. Convenience never guarantees God's presence or plan. Stay with me. Follow me on this. Inconvenience doesn't mean the absence of God's presence or plans. A lot of times we'll talk about open doors, but it's not all open doors. Not every open door should be walked through. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. In the book of Acts, Paul is in prison in a Philippian jail. And if you'll remember, he's chained up and the doors are locked. There's an earthquake, all the chains fall, the doors open. And the Holy Spirit says to Paul, don't walk. The Philippian jailer comes in, and all these doors are open. It's dark, and he can't see. He doesn't know, and he's going to kill himself because he knows if Rome gets a hold of him, it's not just him, it's his family. So he's going to kill himself, and Paul says, stop, we haven't left. And that is the day that salvation comes to the household of that Philippian jailer and his family. Not every open door should be walked through. Some of God's gifts are inconvenient. Some of them are hard. And you can't pin what God's will is to circumstances. There are open doors you shouldn't walk through. There are closed doors that seem impossible that God says, don't worry, I got this. So let me remind you, in between Old and New Testament, before the time of Christ, Old Testament, there are 400 silent years. 400 years where there's no prophet, no scripture is being written, where God ceases to speak, and then God gives a disgraced older woman, Elizabeth, past childbearing years, very hurt, been through a lot. He gives her a pregnancy in her old age, which is impossible because she can't. Those things have stopped, and yet she's pregnant. In fact, we read it. After these days, his wife Elizabeth, older woman, past childbearing years, conceived and kept herself in seclusion for 5 months because she just cannot face the idea of letting people know she's pregnant and then losing the baby and having them mock her yet again. And then she said this after that 5 months, the Lord has done this for me. He has looked with favor in these days to take away my disgrace from among the people. Looked with favor, looked with grace, same word. In the sixth month, so now we're continuing, that was Luke 1, we're continuing in Luke 1, in the sixth month. I just love this. I love this. God starts a calendar, and what's he base it on? A no-name old woman in a podunk town that nobody cares about. That's God's calendar. She got pregnant. This is her sixth month of her pregnancy, who is well past childbearing years. And I don't have time to flesh it out. My son reminded me yet again this week. He's told me before. When you look in Scripture at barrenness, at infertility, we call it, almost always you see God do greatness through that. When God gives a pregnancy where there had been infertility, he does great things to the man who is born. It's incredible. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent to a town in Galilee called Nazareth through a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And so an angel visits a backcountry, forgotten, no name, no account little town. You'll actually hear it in the scriptures if you read them. It'll say, can any good thing come from Nazareth? They used to say that, like, this is just nothing. It's a podunk little town. And an angel shows up there, and Christ is going to be from there, which is crazy. He's going to be born in Bethlehem, but he's going to come out of Nazareth. It's like saying, hey, Jesus is coming back to Montville. What? It's a no-name, like, no. There's a lot of places I'd like to go in my life. I don't know if I'll ever make any of them, but there's never been a time in my life. I'm not putting down Montville if you're from there. I'm not. I'm just saying that I wave real quickly as I go by to and from Liberty to see my son. Like, there's never been a time where I thought, you know what I've never seen and I've always wanted to go? Pulaski. I need to get to Pulaski at some point. That would be amazing. Nobody ever, like, takes their whole life savings, flies across the country to go to Buena Vista. It means good view. That's nice. Who else can I offend? I've got a little extra time. Anybody here from Salem, from Vinton, from... An angel shows up to Nazareth. Can any good thing come from Nazareth? The answer is no. Angel shows up to a woman named Mary, and she is 14 or 15 years old. She's young, and she's betrothed. Betrothed means this. She is pledged in marriage to Joseph. They haven't been together. They don't live together. But in order to separate, they would have to have a divorce because they've pledged themselves. That's betrothal. He's called husband. She's called wife. Again, they haven't been together, and they don't live together. And Joseph, and I love this about the Jewish culture at this time, Joseph is off getting trained. He's apprenticing so that he can take care of his wife once they get married because they're not getting married until he's able to take care of his wife. Ooh, this is such a good, good thing. Well, we just have our love and it'll keep us together. No, it won't. If what you mean by love is the passion you have at the moment, the googly eyes, that doesn't last, right? It may come and go throughout your marriage, but it doesn't last. If you're going to pin it on that, those emotions will come and go. But that ability to take care of, to seek what is in the other person's best interest, that commitment of covenant that lasts. And so I love that custom of, hey, I want to get married to her. Good, do you have a job? No, but she's got a pretty good one. I'm going to play video games. Yeah, you're not ready for marriage. You probably need a diaper, right? So he's off getting trained, and he is of the house of King David, which means he's of the kingly line. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, greetings, favored woman. That means graced. That's the word that's used. The root of that is charis, grace. Greetings, graced woman, the Lord is with you. And she hears this and she's like, I'm poor. I ain't got much. I'm young. I'm in a podunk town. God is not with me. God is with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the experts in the law, the scribes. He's with those people. He's with the really observant Jewish men. She's just a woman. Now, I'm telling you, that was this day, this age. I love what the scripture does because that's where God shows up. She's just a woman. She would never think God was with her. If he was with her, she'd be rich. She'd be a man. She'd know a lot. She's just a young woman. And so the Bible says she was deeply troubled by this statement. Literally, if you look it up, it's greatly agitated. She is on the verge of a panic attack, heart beating out of her chest, hands sweating, feeling dizzy. She wondered what kind of greeting this could be. The Lord is with me? No. Who am I? And yet she's in the presence of an angelic being. And I told you, every time you see an angel appear in the Bible, they have to say, don't be afraid, because your first response to a being who stands in the presence of God is fear. The angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary. I got it. I know you're scared to death. Don't be afraid. You have found, what's that word? Favor. Once again, same word. It's grace. You have found grace with God. Found, not earned, not you're amazing. But God is amazing, and in his grace, he's chosen you. He found grace. It's always a gift. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. Now when she hears this, listen, when she hears this, this is great to know, because to be infertile in that day and that age, we've talked about that, to be what scripture would call barren is to be cursed by God. And so she's hearing that one day she's going to have a son. The Jesus thing is a little weird, because you're usually named after somebody in the family. So the idea that the angel's already named her baby, a little strange, but she's getting a prophecy that she's going to have a kid. This is great. So she's thinking, I'll marry Joseph and we're going to have a son. This is wonderful. I now know that I'm not going to be infertile. This is a good thing. But he goes on, he says, he, the son, will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. When she hears this, she knows. She's supposed to give birth to Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, the consolation of Israel, the one that all of Israel has looked forward to for hundreds of years. I mean, the prophecies in Isaiah were 700 years prior, and all of Israel knew that there was one who was supposed to come and deliver Israel. And when she hears that, she's got to be freaking out. At this point, this is not the normal, hey, you and Joseph are going to have a son, and we decided to name him for you. This is different. Angel goes on, he says, he will reign over the house of Jacob, that's Israel, forever, and his kingdom will have no end. In order for that to be, then the father has to be something special, kingly. And when everything is nuts, I don't know if you know this, men and women are a little different. You may not have noticed. When everything goes crazy and you hear something that's pie in the sky and makes no sense, guys are like, yeah, we'll make it happen, don't worry. We got it, we're for it. Women want a little more practical. Tell me how that's going to happen. Because men are like, yeah, I don't care, man. Yeah, I know it's going to cost $800 a month, but it's a boat. Women are like, dude, we can't even afford groceries. Doesn't matter, it's a boat. We'll go catch fish. Men don't make as much sense. Women are kind of like, hey, slow your roll. Let's think this thing through. And that's where Mary is. So Mary says, how can this be? I've not had sexual relations with a man. Literally in the scriptures, I do not know a man, which means that. When we talk through the Christmas story, there are those who will talk about virgin, the word is parthenos, or talk about maiden, the word is alma, which is in Isaiah. And they'll say, well, it just means maiden, it doesn't mean virgin. She may not have been a virgin. Maybe she says herself, I haven't been with a guy. She wants to know how this happens because she hadn't been with anybody. The angel replied to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. In other words, it's going to be a miracle. Therefore, the Holy One to be born the Holy One to be born, will be called the Son of God. God's the Father, and it is an absolute miracle. And that is only hard to believe if you don't believe in a God who created everything ex nihilo, out of nothing. If you don't believe in a God who could part the Red Sea. If you don't believe in a God who could bring the dead back to life. If you don't believe in a God who could heal the leper, who could cause a blind man to see. If you don't believe in those things, then yeah, it's impossible. But otherwise, nothing's impossible with God. It doesn't seem possible. Never been done before. So it's not like you can go back in your knowledge of the scriptures as a Jewish young lady in that day and that age and say, well, yeah, I remember when it happened here and happened here. It's never been done before. There's no history on this. And the angel knows that Mary needs more than just this to try to figure out what's going on. And so the angel goes on and he says this, and consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age. This is the sixth month of her who was called childless. Now, Mary knows Elizabeth. In fact, as they would come to the holy days in Jerusalem together, she would see her pretty much on the regular, at least probably a couple times a year. She knows Elizabeth. She knows Elizabeth's pain. She knows that Elizabeth has never had a child. She's probably heard her own family talk about Elizabeth and how Elizabeth needs to repent of whatever she's done that's caused her to be barren. She knows Elizabeth is old, wrinkled, past childbearing years. And she has just heard that Elizabeth is pregnant and in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. Elizabeth is at a door, the door is shut, and the angel says, I think God's going to open that one. All of a sudden, boom, the impossible becomes possible. Now here's the thing, the angel puts this before, lays it before Mary, and doesn't leave. He waits. He's waiting for an answer. This is not a, hey, you're going to be pregnant whether you like it or not. This is what God wants. She can argue with God. There are scriptures where people do argue with God. God is gifting her. He's going to give her grace. It's not easy. It certainly ain't convenient. And it will put an end to her dreams. Listen, and cause disgrace. So from early on, as a young Jewish woman, she knew she was going to get married, probably to Joseph, knew that early on, arranged. She would live in this village. The girls she grew up with, they had their marriages. They would have kids together. They'd all play together in that same village, in that same town. She had her hopes and dreams. Her plans are set. She knows where she's going, and she's fine with it. And then the angel says, you're going to be pregnant, and it's not Joseph's. And there's no way Joseph is going to believe. Hey, I'm pregnant. Don't worry. God did it. That's not happening, right? There's no way Joseph is going to go, oh, okay. As far as she knows, Joseph will leave her. As far as she knows, the townspeople are going to look at her with disdain as a loose woman, that she is going to be an unmarried, single mother in that day, in that age, and the only way they make it is selling themselves to some of the townsmen. She's going to have to try to support a baby by herself if she says yes. If she says yes. God's grace is Mary's disgrace because everyone's going to judge her. They're going to judge her as the woman who cheated on Joseph before the wedding. And this is where it becomes real. God has given a gift and it don't feel like a gift. Is this about, and is her life about the judgment of others or the favor of God? Is she what they say she is? Right now, they just like her. She's married. She's going to marry Joseph. She's a good girl. Loves her mama, loves Jesus and horses too. And the angel's kind of a bad boy. I got to stop here. Is she who she is, her identity? Is it about what others say about her or about what God says she is, what God has called her to be? This is where it becomes real. See, who you are, how you see yourself, your identity, your sense of self, your sense of worth, determines what you do in the pivotal moments of your life. And you have to decide that in advance because in that moment, you're not thinking identity. You're just thinking about what is best for you. Well, I need to be thought well of by the people. Well, I need people to like me. Well, I just have always seen myself this way. You have to decide your identity in advance because when the pivotal moments come, you don't have time to decide. You just make decisions based on who you are. That's why you have to know, listen, you're a follower of Christ if you know Jesus. That is your primary identity. That's your primary sense of self. And it dictates everything else you do. You're an adopted son or daughter of the Most High God, the living God. That's primary. And then it then dictates, how am I going to be a spouse? Well, if my primary identity is in Christ, he dictates how I respond in the marriage, how I live in the marriage. It dictates how I'm going to be a parent. How do I treat my kids? Am I willing to apologize when it, by the way, parents, please, if you do wrong, when you do wrong by your kids, go and apologize. You're not going to lose their respect, you're going to win it. I have apologized to Trent before for what I've done wrong. It dictates how you'll be a child and how you'll honor your parents. It dictates how you'll be an employee or a boss or a whatever. If your identity is in Christ, it dictates every other thing, how you will date even and what you will and won't do. This is Mary's moment. The angel's waiting. He has set this before. He has laid this on her. Hey, listen, God's going to give you the baby, and you're going to have this baby outside of Joseph. And if she says yes, she's throwing all of her hopes and dreams away, her life as she knew it ends. Joseph, as far as she knows, is going to walk. And she says this. This is her identity. I'm the Lord's servant. When you know who you are, when you know what you're about, what you will and you won't do, those things naturally follow. I'm God's slave. I'm not my own. I belong to my Creator. God said it. I don't like it. I don't agree with it. It seems too much to put on me, but I belong to Him. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. The angel got his answer, and he left her. And listen, this is not the moment where she just heard, hey, I'm going to have the Christ, and she's jumping up and down. This is the moment where her shoulders slump. She feels the weight of the world on her, and she knows that her life, the way she had pictured it, is over. The dream is dead. Nobody's going to believe God made me pregnant. Who's going to believe that? By the way, don't try that now. It's only happened once in all of history. She's not going to believe that. This is hard. She's pregnant, she's unmarried, she's betrothed, pledged, and she's young, and she's facing an uncertain future. What did she just hear? She heard that her older relative, Elizabeth, who can't have babies, who's past those years, is 6 months pregnant, which is impossible. In those days, Mary set out and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. She gets her after a days-long journey, and she is freaked out. She's about a week pregnant now, maybe 2 weeks, and she is freaked. And she walks in. She's tired. She's sweaty. She's been going up into the hill country, climbing. She hasn't told Joseph. She knows she's going to be disgraced. And she looks, and there's Elizabeth, older than old, with a big old swelling belly and a smile on her face, because she's finally going to have a baby. Elizabeth's disgrace has become grace. She's going to have a baby. Mary's grace, she's going to marry Joseph, has become disgrace. She's a single mom. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside of her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately. Remember the scriptures? We looked at it last week. This was 6 months earlier. He, John, in your womb, Elizabeth, will be filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb. Happens right then. The unborn John is in the presence of the unborn Jesus, who is the Creator. And the Holy Spirit fills Elizabeth and that baby. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside her. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she exclaimed with a loud cry. Let me do it this way. Blessed are you among women, and your child will be blessed. Please don't ever read it that way. What does it say? She exclaimed with what? A loud cry. Man, she's excited. This is not a Prozac moment. Blessed are you among women. Your child will be blessed. Man, she is, you may not like this if you're not too, she's charismatic at this moment. She's full of happiness. She's jumping up and down. She maybe a couple flags as she danced. I don't know. But in this moment, she is full of joy. She said, how could this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? How could this happen that I would stand in the presence of the mother of my God? All. For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy inside me. Oh, that's incredible. Listen, Mary's 2 weeks pregnant. You don't even look like you've had a big meal at 2 weeks pregnant. There's nothing showing. There's no way she could know but the Holy Spirit. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill what he has spoken to her. Blessed are you, Mary. You believed, you obeyed, you are blessed. And then Mary breaks into prophetic song. That's the rest of the story in Luke. You may want to read it this week. Elizabeth's disgrace has become grace from God. Mary's grace has become disgrace from God because she's a single mother. Because not every gift from God is easy and convenient or without controversy and conflict. It has always been God's plan. It has always been God's plan that those who have received grace would give grace to those in disgrace. If you know Jesus, you've received grace. You are now responsible to give grace to those in disgrace. And if they earned it and if they're worth it, it's not grace. Right? It's a free gift. It's no different than what you and I are called to do. She gives her grace. Mary stayed with her about 3 months. What happens in 3 months? Doing the math on this. Seemed like she's going to have a baby. She stays until Elizabeth delivers. And then she returned to her home. The baby is born. Mary now has to head home, heart beating out of her chest, knowing that she's going to... You ever have those moments where you know you got to have a confrontation with somebody and you go through your mind over and over again about how it's going to go? What are they going to say? What will I say? What will I say here? What if there's conflict? She's got about a week's journey to get back to home. She's now 3 months pregnant. She looks like she has been to the buffet. She has a baby bump, and she got to go back and deal with the man she's betrothed to, and they haven't been together, and she's got to say, an angel visited me and God did this. And that's a little scary. Now we're heading to Matthew 1. The birth of Jesus came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. She has the conversation, and her fear is that he is going to divorce her. And she speaks the words and she tells the story. Do you think he believes? Would you? She talks to him. He doesn't believe her, not for a moment. So her husband, Joseph, betrothed, husband, wife, not together, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. As far as he's concerned, that's it. She cheated on me. And she's crazy, too. She's talking about angels visiting. Thought I'd believe that nonsense. Not yet together, betrothed. And now it's going to be a divorce. Because God's gifts are not easy. Her worst fears come true. And here's the thing. He says he's going to divorce her quietly. I just picture 14, 15 years old. Hormones all over because of the pregnancy. I remember those days. I picture her big old slobbery tears. You know what I'm talking like? Somebody said recently, snot crying. That's what I picture. I picture snot crying, right? And she's got to go through that at least one night of just knowing that everything is over. I know she does because here's what it says. But after he considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. So at least one night is horrible, horrific, terrible for her. And here's the thing. God doesn't tell her in advance that it'll be okay. Do you notice this? Couldn't God have said, hey, Mary, you're going to talk to Joseph. He ain't going to believe, but don't worry, I'll make it all okay. He doesn't tell her this in advance. He could have, but we walk by faith, not by sight. He simply calls her to follow. God rarely tells his servants that everything will be okay. And sometimes it's not okay. But he does call us to follow by faith, not by sight, because that's what we walk by. Here's what the angel said to Joseph. Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She didn't lie to you, bro. She will give birth to a son. And by the way, we've named him. Don't you even think about calling him Fred. His name is Jesus. That would really be weird, wouldn't it? I accept Fred into my heart. Wouldn't that be strange? Yeah. You need to accept Fred as your Lord and Savior. Somewhere out there, Fred is freaking out. She will give birth to a son. You're going to call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus means God is salvation or God saves. That's what it means. Now, he's got a choice. The angel's spoken to him, but he's still a man with free will. He's got a choice, and he could walk, and he's fine. He's free. If he marries her, the town, this is a small town, maybe 1,000 people, 1,200 people in the town, they all know she got the baby bump. They can do the math on when they get married. That whole town is going to laugh at him. He'll be a laughing stock. He'll be mocked. Dude, you believed her? Are you kidding me? Are you crazy too? You'll be thought a fool. God's grace is not convenient. Yes, it's a gift, but God's grace is not convenient. It's a privilege, but it ain't easy. Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin, this is 700 years ago, see, the virgin will become pregnant, give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. When Joseph woke up, he went to Mary, knocked on her door. She comes out, eyes swollen. It's been a heck of a night. And she just doesn't even want to look him in the eyes. She feels like she's hurt him, even though she hadn't done wrong. You ever had that feeling where you hadn't done wrong, but you feel like somebody thinks you have, and you don't want to look him in the eyes? She didn't want to look him in the eyes, and she is hurting. And he says, I believe you. You're right. An angel appeared. You didn't lie to me. I'll marry you. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he married her. But he did not have relations with her until she gave birth to a son. And he named him Jesus. Man, don't miss the grace of God because of the hardship attached. Don't fail to give the grace of God because you're so busy admiring the gift for yourself. It's good that you have grace, but man, it needs to be shared. We're in a world that needs grace. You know, we're fussing and fighting over everything. The Church of Jesus Christ is right now. We were talking about it at the 9:30. We fuss and fight over everything. I know what I feel about masks. Hold on, it's Facebook Live. I want to be careful. I know what I feel about masks. And I'm okay if you feel different. God forbid that we would judge each other based on that. I've read Romans 14. You want to esteem one day above another? Go ahead. You want to esteem every day the same? Go ahead. The Lord has commended both and accepts both. We shouldn't be calling names based on those sorts of things. And there's a whole multitude of other things just like this. We're supposed to give each other grace. Elizabeth has grace. She gives it to Mary, who is in desperate need. So let's bring this thing to a close. Doors are a terrible way to know the will of God. Well, the door's open. They offered me this, or she said yes, or... Doors are a terrible way to know the will of God. If so, you're going to be bound to circumstances, not bound to the will of God. Convenience is not an indicator of the will of our God. Don't use circumstances outside of scriptures, prayer, and fellowship. That's how you know the will of God. What does the word say? What does prayer say? What do wise believers who I know walk with God say? That's how you find the will of God. If you belong to Jesus, that's your primary identity. If it's not, you're going to bend and become what others want you to be. If your primary identity is in Jesus, nothing can sway you. Decide to make Jesus your identity, your sense of self, your sense of worth, and never forget about the God who does the impossible. Oh, Lord, I don't see how it could ever happen. God does the impossible. Lord, I don't see the future. God does the impossible. Lord, I just don't think it could ever come to fruition. Fine. Has God called it? Has he called you to it? Friggin' get busy. He knows what he's doing. Possible is God's starting point. Always has been. Always. And some of you need that right now. Lord, I could never stop. Lord, I can't start. Lord, I just don't know how I'm going to. Good. That's barrenness. That's emptiness. Lord, what do you want to do in this barrenness? Because I believe you can. And I believe you will. I'm going to pray with us. I'm going to pray for us. And then I'll see if there's questions, comments, and disagreements. So let me pray. Holy Father, some of us